Blog Talk Radio.
Oh.
how my soul longs to see you arrival. Even so, even so, come or thank you. even so, take your pride away. Oh, my soul longs to see you. Even so, come, Lord Jesus,
Oh,
even so. Take your pride away. Oh, my soul. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, Jesus, take your pride away. How my soul longs to be with you. How my soul longs to be with you. My soul. Even so. Even so.
bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Someone of God is on the line. We worship and we praise the Lord. So now we are going to hear the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. We honor you, Father, for this opportunity to come to your table and feast, O God, at the word that you have given to your servant to release in the hearts and the minds of your people all over the world. We pray, Father God, even right now that you would touch her eyes, her ears, and her lips of clay, that she might see and hear and speak your truth, O God. Lord Jesus, let there be none of her but all of you. And as she decreases now, Lord, I ask that you would increase even the more, Lord, that as she speak, God, she would hear direct from the throne room, and that the words that come from her mouth, O God, would come forth like a two-edged sword, like a sickle, that it would cut, O God, into the deeper parts of our soul, that we will be convicted, O God, to do the things that please you and honor you, Lord God, that many men and women will see and hear our actions and our words, O God, and will be quick to say, what must I do to be saved? They will repent and turn to hear from you, Lord. We ask you today, Lord God, as you have already sanctified the atmosphere and sterilized the atmosphere now, allow your servant to speak the words that you have given to her. In Jesus' holy name, come on in, prophetess. Curse she and let the Lord use you. Come on in.
Good morning. God bless you. Good morning.
You.
Good morning from our part of the our world. Right now, and I'm in Henderson, Tennessee, is what we call Central America, and in Central Time, and it's 11 a.m. here. Praise God, and we just praise God, amen, for another day's journey. And as the song say, I'm so glad that the devil can't do me no harm, and I'm so glad, amen. He might try to form weapons and surround us with many things and try to oppress us or even want to depress us and cause suppression in our spiritual abilities and suppress our virtues and our various talents, amen, and even the glories that's given us temporarily while we're still here on earth. We do honor, praise God, everyone on this line, Apostle Calendar, his wife, all the administration and all that make up the body of Christ and this radio show. We do honor Apostle Stewart out there. Amen. Praise God. And my son, Minister Jones, his wife, who's tuning in with us as well. We thank God for him over in Jackson, Tennessee. He's off the road for a few days. Thank God. Thank God. That he's home, praise God, amen. And we just certainly thank God for the ministry that he's entrusted in our care. And I've never even made it known that my ministry, prayer ministry, deliverance ministry, is called Eagles Outreach. And I do apologize for not introducing myself to that level where people know who I am, what I got, and where my intentions are to go, where I'm going. Praise the Lord. But Eagles Outreach Ministry, we do have a prayer line that we are on every morning, 7 days a week. We have multiple thousands of hours on that, a 12-year of not missing a beat except this morning. We didn't go on this morning. We used to be on the line, and we've been targeted on every hand because the devil knows his time is short. And so there's been a war on everything that the church is destined to do in each final hours. Praise the Lord, with AI acting up. Praise God. Amen. And we thank the Lord today that we're here in spite of all we've been through. We are still here, and we still have our joy, and we are ever more determined to run and not look back Praise God. Amen. We're leaving the world behind us, and the cross is before us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we have a great hope in us today for that glory to be clothed upon with the glory that Paul tells us in the book of Hebrews. Praise God, that Jesus died to bring many sons into. In fact, Hebrews 2:10 said Jesus died. He went through all he went through to bring many sons into glory, to bring us in the fullness of obedience, that we can enter that same glory, the level of miracles and signs and wonders as he did, and the final transfiguration, the final change that we all hope for at the coming of the Lord, where we'll be changed in that moment in a twinkling of an eye. That will be our final transfiguration. Amen. Leaving this old world behind. And so we praise God today for all of you that are listening, all our many pastors, the saints, praise God, and friends, amen, patrons, everyone that support this line, and everyone who right now is at the table of the Lord, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Amen. Because right now, all of us find ourselves, as the Haggai prophesied, and as the word of God prophesied, as God said that he was going to send a famine in the last day. And we are passing through that, are walking through twofold famine. And, you know, things happen spiritually before we see them fall in the natural aspect. God said that he would send a famine in the land for the hearing of the words of God. Amen. So, and he did say that people will want to hear the word. They're going to be going from sea to sea, from coast to coast. They're going to be going to and fro, up and down in the earth, looking for God, looking for answers, looking for hope, looking for deliverance, amen, looking for love, that greater love that the Bible talks about. And then we know that Satan himself is also, according to Isaiah, the 14th chapter, that Lucifer is coming to weaken the nation. He's coming, praise God, mimicking, copying, and trying to duplicate the things of God. And he will be loosed, and is now loosed. He is here, as is being uttered and spoken to the housetops all over the Middle East, all through your ancient lands that we read, the lands that we call ancient throughout our biblical readings, that he is now in the body of his son to run the world in this hour. And our world leaders are communicating with them, already talking with them. They have the instructions of what you see them doing. They are doing it because God has permitted it, and it's just that time for those things to be sold. And so Satan, which is one of his titles, but as I said, Isaiah addressed him as a name from the fall, before the fall, Lucifer. And after the fall, many titles have been established throughout the earth through many people, many places and things. He has so many titles to describe his attributes and his characteristics, his just total behavior and rebellion. And all of them are dangerous. We call him a dragon, a serpent, or the prince of the power of the air. Satan had so many names to let you know he ain't nothing to be reckoned with. Even though we have the power of God working in us, we cannot stand against him without the power of God, without the Spirit of God. You got to have the Spirit of the living God. Amen. That ultimate spirit, the supreme, that come from God in order to control lower species, the lower entities. They are subject to the power of God. They fear it. They fear the name, and that's why it's a race to erase God consciousness or the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, name that most intimidating to them out of the music, off the records, off the books, and it is not to be said globally. And because this is his condemnation, him and the fallen angels. But Satan in Revelation 6 chapter says, and this is where we are. We are in the seals. We are in the seals. That the Antichrist, when he is loose, he's going forth to conquer, and we see it. And he will bring famine. He will bring famine, just like God said he's going to send one for the hearing of the words of God, the eternal word, the things that are being prepared and given you each day on these radio broadcasts and through TV shows and other broadcasts globally. This is the table of the Lord, and this is where you get your meat offering and your drink offering from those who are constant in the presence of God, those who are sincerely spending time with the Lord. Amen. And they are not spending a whole lot of time reading a bunch of books. Amen. They're paying for it with their life. They're paying for it with talking and walking with God, who can give you a better revelation and understanding of creation with God. You can't get this from a book. You have to get it from the Maker. You have to get it from, as Paul said in Hebrew, he is the father of all spirits. God, the only one that can give you spiritual revelation. Now, I know we write some things and we gather some things and we've been allotted some things to teach. But Paul said, especially in the hour that we're living in now, we're in a day where we will end it with fasting and praying. It's about to be over with all the overfeeding and the gluttoning, and the world is getting ready for a forced fast. Praise the Lord. Amen. The famine of forced fast. And this is one reason why the enemy has got an advantage of the world globally, the overfeeding, overeating. And let me tell you something. We know it's been quite a pleasure and been a delight and all quite entertaining to have erected all-you-can-eat restaurants and buffets and all that. And boy, when that rolls up, amen, praise the Lord. I mean, fasting just went out the door. Praise God for many. Praise the Lord. It went straight out the door. And then here come infirmities. Here come strongholds over the nation. He knew exactly what he was doing when he targeted fasting and praying. He knew what he was doing. Excuse me, praise the Lord. When he raised up one of his daughters dedicated to evil, the fullness of evil, being manifested in for the weakening, the beginning of the weakening of the nation, of bringing down the nations, especially America, too, greatest defense against evil, the walls she had, the hedge that was around her. We had peace. There was no war. And when he stopped prayer, he raised Marilyn O'Hara up from to go from the lowest court to the highest court to remove and to cut off all communication, if possible, with God. But yet God has a remnant that has never ceased to talk to him. Praise the Lord, and to stay before him. Amen. They acknowledge him in all things. But Satan, he know, I got to bring that prayer. Well, I got to bring the nations to prayerlessness. Amen. Let them do it. Let them pray when they go to church, but do a shotgun prayer. Do a drive-through prayer. Don't let them go into shutting. Prevent them from shutting in. Prevent them from laying out all night, because he knew the days was coming that the children would end up in captivity, that he was going to, his agenda, in the agenda was to destroy and erase or to kill everything that was left of virginity and innocence, the youth, the babes, the suckling. He wanted to further afflict from the womb out. Praise God. And so the devil knew what he was doing when he raised that one woman up with her son and her granddaughter to war against prayer. Amen. And then evil began to overspread. Then we saw overspreading of evil, overspreading of abomination, as Daniel talks about. And then we saw the final transgression going into effect. Transgression means another phase. It was revised when it come to the New Testament of the four Gospels. We call it iniquity abounding. Iniquity abounding means lawlessness. People despising and hating truth and despising the laws of God and the do's and don'ts of what God says you can do and cannot do. And just the Bible itself, they hate the truth and they despise the truth. They offended in the truth. He knew what he was doing when he sent that war to remove God consciousness. Because if you ain't praying, you're losing it. You're losing God consciousness, your awareness. Amen. The importance of being in the presence of God, you are moving to a place of losing it. And so he went from there. Okay, I got to remove prayer. I got to remove prayer, because as long as prayer is going on, then there's communication with God. And wherever there's much prayer, there will be much power. So he's been working on removing power. Hallelujah. The power of God. Amen. And when we stop communicating with God, then we lose purpose. We lose our mandate. Praise the Lord, we lose our burden for souls. And you will not know what God is thinking. You will not know what he's saying or what he's feeling, because prayer will make you one with God. The more you pray, the closer you get to God. The less you pray, the farther away you from. Then you'll find it easy to go a-whoring from him, as David said in the song. He that follow God are far off. You know, we want to pray some days, but not every day. And you need to practice praying every day, acknowledging him every day to guarantee direction, guarantee your feet being on the right path, guarantee the avoidance of the 91st Psalm talk about the snare of the fowlers. The foul of spirits that's lurking and operating with Satan when he's operating in the air. Foul means anything operating in the air above us or hovering at the heights of the clouds or wherever prince spirits are. The Bible says that they're at the heights of the clouds, and through ancient teachings and things I've studied, the prince spirits, they sit at the heights of the clouds. But now Lucifer has been cast down. He's in the earth now. He don't have the ability to send back up. And that's why he had to bring technology to make him as he's God. God being all-seeing and knowing and everywhere at one time. He don't need technology. Satan needs the satellite. He needs your iPhone, your cell phone, your Android, your smart TV, your 4K. That's how he sees through the electronic. That's how he's entering every home now to spy out. He has electronic ears and eyes, the eight eye, and we are passing. And I noticed when I was studying yesterday, and I was looking, I said, oh, my God, if that word ain't right, I try to, with all of my heart, to build my message around Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, verses 9 through 12, and Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, verses 15 through 19, it tells you, if you want to know what's happening today, you got to see yesterday as today. Glory to God. Allah, Morishila. Hallelujah. I'm looking at what I see today is yesterday. I'm looking at yesterday. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so the devil knew what he was doing when he removed prayer and caused prayer warriors to go AWOL from the altars and neglect the altars. And I'm going somewhere with this, because I want to go into another phase of the fight of glory. And the apostle's been teaching a lot of it, too, on the change and how God emphasized in the New Testament how the people traded their glory. They changed their glory. People are changing their glory. They don't like the way they look. They don't like God's requirements of how to look or how to dress, you know, or how to be identical to him. They don't want that price because they don't want to stand out. They don't want to be peculiar. They don't want to be called as an alien or some strange one. And praise the Lord. And so the devil knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing when he said, Madeline, have you looked at her and this lady? And I say, these atheists and some of these people don't even know what they are, but what they're doing. They just following folk just to be following folks and blind leading the blind. And then you have some who really have the heart of perdition. They really love Lucifer. And they are pushing it. They are pushing that agenda. Their heart is not right. Some people was born under a curse. They was born with hardness. They was born that way. And we can change folk, try to change folk, and that's why it's important. And I put a lot of emphasis on sharpening your ability to discern. And the levels of discernment, and often we think it's in our physical reaction to make people think that we are seeing something because we squinch our eyes and keep staring a certain direction and making a scene or outward show that we are seeing something when it's the innards that you got to see, not outward. Now you will see the signature or the sigils. The name of an entity on people now, who the ownership, who they're following, their spirit spouse, it's obvious whom they are one with and who they're fellowshipping with, or what kind of entity they are truly fellowshipping with. Because if you're seeking God, you're going to go after God. You're going to go chasing after him every day. You ain't going to neglect it. And so hell is working overtime. Because he know we are at the end of all things, just as well as we are at the restoration of all things in the behalf of the people of God on the kingdom of God's side now. Now on the kingdom of hell, on the kingdom of darkness, and those who serve Lucifer today, and whether in a high place or a low place, your days are ended. The end is coming. The end is coming. Praise God. You're in it, and we're about to enter eternal life. We're about to inherit the new heaven and the new earth. You're just temporal if you don't hurry up and cross on over to the Lord's side, where you're guaranteed that if you should leave this body, I have to give it up. You are guaranteed to go on over and wait with the other saints who are in paradise waiting until the trumpet sound, and then we all meet them together and go to the Lamb's feast. And so the devil knew what he was doing when he used Madeline O'Hara to rob this nation of prayer, the fight against prayer. People got an attitude with prayer because they start running after titles and thinking that I don't want to be no prayer warrior because ain't nobody going to see me at the altar. They despise the altar. And I look at people and imposters in church now, and that's why Satan create conditions such as knee problems and hip problems, because that's a thorn. That's a way of preventing you to bow before God, especially we who love God. There's an affliction. Some of us are self-afflicted, and some were afflicted through ignorance and the chemicals and stuff that they are feeding now to deteriorate the body, which he so envied. He envied that some of us are retaining or maintaining the very image and likeness of God. Amen. We are trying to keep our bodies in sanctification and honor. We are trying to stick with God's dietary laws. Amen. And know that God ain't changed. He ain't changed. As though it was Mosaic, the Bible say the only thing God destroyed concerning the laws of the prophet, the only thing that was destroyed was the ceremony law, the offering of animals. That's the only thing that was done away with. Everything he said in that word, what I say unto one, I say unto all. What I've said to the last generations before you is for you today. And so the devil knew what he was doing when he robbed us of prayer and tried to disable us, afflict us physically, to maim us, dismember us, so that we won't be a beautiful vessel in its fullness, and you can remain, oh boy, if you can make it all the way to the end in wholeness with every one of your organs inside and out, boy, that would be a great deal. I think that would be pretty good, though. Won't you? Don't you think so? You know, if you can make it all the way through where you didn't have to go through the system of taking something off of you or out of you that's supposed to be a part of you or disable you, that would be beautiful if you can make it all the way to the end in wholeness, physically now. I'm talking physically, but even though the word is for the entire triune, your body, soul, and your spirit, if you can make it all the way through this without being dismembered by the system, by potions or surgeries, then that's good. But if something happens and things dug, then we still praise God anyway that you still have your body and you still can go around and you still can be helped. But if we can prevent from being maimed or halt or dismembered, we need to do all we can, guard our hearts, our bodies with all diligence, do the right thing. Amen. Hurry up and get something in you to restore or to rejuvenate or revive whatever organ or whatever, if it's the bone down to the marrow of the bone, your skin, from the first layer of the skin, the 7 layers to your skin all the way down to the marrow of your bone, something psychologically. It's something that will fit it all. And so the devil is warned in more than one facet on preventing people from gravitating or getting back to these altars. And we will not win. And some of you who feel defeated or you ain't going to make it or, you know, you keep falling, that's because you ain't praying enough. Are you not praying through? You got to make sure you pray through in order to inherit that glory that's going to help you to stand, endure all the way to the end. And so he put a war on prayer, and it started in the church arena or the religious arena. I say the kingdom arena, because the body of Christ, the church, is the nucleus of the nation. You're talking about nuclear weapon. We are the most powerful thing existing, especially when we walk in with God and keep our vessels in sanctification and honor. Amen. And practice touching not and handling not unclean things and staying unequally yoked with unbelievers, people that don't believe the word of God and don't think that's for them today, but it's for all of us. All of it works. All of it works. Praise the Lord. And so he tore down first the church's greatest defense against evil, and then here comes the overspreading. Here comes the iniquity start abounding there first. And when I look back at the third chapter of Ecclesiastes and ninth through that, that's the first chapter, but the third chapter, 15 through the 19th verse, talking about the place of righteousness. Solomon say, I saw the place of righteousness and iniquity was there. I was looking at what's supposed to be representing God. I was looking at preachers. You know, we passed through Ezekiel's hole in the wall. We passed through so many afflictions of leaders and God smiting shepherds. And because this, the devil knew that he had to bind the strong man, tempt them, bribe them, let people buy them gifts so they won't teach the whole counsel, the whole truth. Let them be patty cake preachers. Let them be smooth talkers. Let them be teachers that teach things that people that have itchy ears so that the word won't have an advantage or be successful in these last and evil days. And so he brought and down one of the greatest defenses in the church was the prayer warriors and prayer and the altars, and people start getting an attitude, say, oh, we got another study, and oh, we got to pray all night long. Why we got a prayer on it? Can we just do it 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? Not all night, please. Praise the Lord. They start complaining, and they thought that place was too low for them, but they don't know that that altar, you kneeling and praying and seeking God, is the most powerful, most valuable thing that we have spiritually besides the Holy Ghost. We inherited the first glory, and that was the Holy Ghost. After being born again, God gave us a new spirit, those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, and that first glory. And we're trying to press it and do it to the end, and we go into the final one, and reach it timely for the transfiguration. Reach it timely. Live such a way that, amen, and when the trumpet sounds, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. And so the devil start warring against that prayer. Then he created this thing. But I know we passed through an abundance. We were living in abundance. We have plenty. This nation was really doing good one time, even though it had its underlying infirmities and attitudes and racism and other schisms and isms. And we still had serial killers and stuff walking. But because prayer was more vital, more important to people years back, then, you know, we was able to live peace a long time. And so now that we see the altars being neglected in the church, this is how evil overspreads. Because the nucleus is not doing what it ought to do, and the prayerlessness started in the church first. People start complaining, and that's why there's a difference. You know, people ain't going to have the right attitude if they don't have the skills and the love for prayer to stay in the presence of God. They're going to complain. They're going to have all kind of issues with prayer, and they're going to, you know, not just want to do it. They're not just going to want to do it. Praise God. But the devil had them thinking, well, nobody will see me there as a prayer warrior. Instead of appreciating the time given to you, you had time. When time passed, we had it. But now that time has been expedited and it's moving faster, we don't have 30 years left. We don't have 25 years. We don't have a good 12 years left with this present world, looking at things happening as they are. Amen. We may have maybe close to 7 years left because the Antichrist is already here. He's ready to take over. And the world leaders are ready. They resign and they tired. They wore out just like preachers getting burnt out. The political people are getting burnt out. They tired. They want to just go somewhere and chill. They want to go chill. They want to go on the ground in their bunkers. They want to go wherever they have laid all their money to build somewhere a haven. Praise the Lord. And they are weary and well-doing. They are weary. And God knew that they would come to this point, according to Revelation 17. And they're going to give their power and strength to the beast. Let him run it. He's going to show himself all power and capable of running things. And he's going to have all the knowledge of everything outside of the universe, outside of the realm of man. Stuff that man don't know, and they're going to be glad to turn everything over to him because they don't see no wearing out for him, but they don't know his end. He has an end like them, and it's to destroy even those who follow him and have taken them his mark and his mind. And so he frustrates the prayer warriors, and they have left these altars because they think they won't be recognized, think that the altar having prayer meeting is the lowest time in the church. I don't see no fruit in this, and I can't really feel nothing and all that. You won't with that kind of attitude. You won't even make an ascension to the hill of the Lord if you don't get rid of those attitudes and those dispositions and stop complaining. And even if you don't feel nothing, it's by faith. If you get in there quoting that word and saying that word to God, God will hear you because he's going to turn his ear to his word. And he watch over his word. When you say something about his word, oh, who said that? Who said that? That was my word coming back to me from the earth, out of that address, da-da-da-da-da. And Satan knew that, and he knew that the day would come, and we are here now, that this time that we're living in, these kind of devils we're dealing with, these types of infirmities, the massive plagues and sickness and disease and deaths, the overspreading of abominations, we pray and we talk about it, but have not stopped. Of much of what the transformation that's going on and the brainwashing that's going on in the educational system throughout the world globally. The erasing of God consciousness. Children say they not believe in God. But I'm telling you, they're doing something demonic while these kids in school. The few hours they're in school, if what's happening to them ain't good, they ain't learning no math and all that stuff. They learning how to serve the devil with their games and their cell phones and in this school with witches and warlocks and these people who are going through transit conditioning and gender changing, just like we are transiting, they are too. Transformations, transfigurations. We are going through, they are going through the same thing. What happens to us happens to them. What's released among us as the church will be released among the world. And so the devil know what he was doing because he knew he was coming to this day that these kind of spirits we deal with now only going to come out but by fasting, lots of it, and praying. And so these little bit of fasting, little drops in the bucket, and the devil know he want to create conditions where you can't but a little bit. But days and night, like the old holy apostles and prophets did, and fasting from television, no worship music, nothing. Nothing. With your voice and God's voice and all the entities that you will be able to hear that have enclosed you about. And so he starts setting up all you can eat restaurants to add infirmities unto infirmities to create unhealthful conditions as long and to bring you to a place where you will not be able to cast out a sodomite spirit. He had to bring in comedies. He had to bring in movies, entertainment to make you laugh at it. Like Mud Deer, I would dare own a movie of Mud Deer and Shanine and Miss Downfire and the white girls with the whining boys and all these men that are cross dressers to numb you down, to dumb you down, and you got this entertainment. And if you got it, if you're going to deliver your children, which are transgendering, going through that transfiguration to change them, that they'll be full of darkness and confusion. You got to get rid of everything that pertain to that entertainment. Clean out your DVDs. Clean out that stuff. Get rid of it. Ain't nothing funny about Mud Deer. Ain't nothing funny about any of that stuff. You can't have that there. And then your door is open for spirit spouses, for perversions, and other lusts. And you wonder how the enemy was able to get in and bind the strong man. Good preachers being bought down and falling prey to the third image, the sodomite spirit. And so we are fighting something, y'all. We are fighting something that we got to go back to fasting and prayer to destroy it, to put it back to its back in its place, or to set it back where it came from. Fasting and prayer, and I ain't talking about just going without eating, without drinking, no fasting from television, fasting from being on the phone with people all the time. You got to fast from people. Make sure you hear the voice of God, because there's so many voices. He already told you seducing spirits. Spirits was going to be talking in the last day. That with the veil is hiding right now that you can't see, that's speaking in the wind or giving pillow talk to you at night. They'll talk through your pillows. They love the Mika Bust and Sucker Bust. They love pillows and bed, mattresses. They love your bedroom. Spirits are talking, or they talking and they singing They're trying to woo you. Satan still desire to have us and only to sift us like wheat. And so we're entering this word today of I think Apostle St. Part 4 of the series or something of that nature, where we started talking about the discerning spirit. Man, I can't even begin to get in the depths of it and the wars that's at the altar. I got to back up a little bit about that prayer and the war at the altar, spirits trying to prevent you, amen, from getting clean and washed out real good. You pass through the valley of Baca, Abacar, to get washed and clean out, to dump it out of the flesh so you can walk in the new spirit that God has given you. That's the only way you're going to defeat Satan. It's going to take spirit to fight spirit. And so I was looking in the Word of God last night. I tell you, ooh, I had some battles last night with some people. I'm telling you, people are changing. Family, friends, they are going through a transformation that, oh my God, there's a manifestation of something else is inside of them. They are not aware, and some of them are aware that something has entered them, a great evil. Praise God. The mark is there, the mark of the beast, the mind of the beast, the very nature of the beast is visible. But I was looking at Job, the 14th chapter, verse 1, as we go into a continuation of the travail, I had to get a little water, the twofold travail that's on the world, the pain that's in the world. Pain is here, the final birth pain. We are in the ninth month. We are in the ninth month, the final birthing, the manifestation of what we have believed, received, and conceived, what seed we have conceived, whether it's eternal truth, a lie from a seducing spirit, or some other being. And Jesus say, you shall know them by their fruit, their attributes, their behavior, their attitudes, their demonstration, amen, their body language, watch their clothes, the fashions they choose to let you know whether they are on the Lord's side or they are yet over on the devil's side. And so there is trouble in the world. Everywhere you go, there's trouble coming to induce a birthing. And there's a lot of birthing going on. Amen. We have abortions going on, but every time something go out, something comes in. And we got more, still got more humans than we have of the fallen angels, of the hybrids, of the clones, of the demigods, praise God, of the demon-possessed. There's still more with us than that's working against us. So all of the things you see is pain everywhere, the shifting, the travail everywhere. And even Job said in the 14th chapter, verse 1, he said, man is born of a woman and is of a few days and full of trouble. Well, we've seen some light afflictions in our days and some little simple trouble, but now we have not seen trouble like we've seen it. That means we're in the final birth pain. And he said, you were born of a woman. You passed through your mother's womb, and you're not here to be here forever. You have a few days, and we all have a few days left. We used to have years. I made it to 63 years. I'm 63 years old, and I've been privileged to see years, the days within those years, but now God is calling in like never before, calling into slumber, go to sleep from labor, and cross out of this body and going over to paradise with other saints for fellowship and then talking and get to see all those you read about who made it in. They all did all together, amen, just like this life and consciousness underneath the earth as Luke the 16th chapter talks about. But he says, Job 14:1, man is born of a woman and of a few days and full of trouble. And then I looked in the Rheims Bible interpretation of that saying, because that was the King James version that I read, that man is born of a woman, is of a few days and a full of trouble, from the King James version. But the Rheims Bible says this in its revised way. Man born of a woman, living for a short time, is filled with many miseries. And you look at the miseries, the end game, the end of things, misery. And then I look at Psalms, the 51st Psalms, verse 5 and 6. And he's talking about a woman being born of a woman, of things that come out of the chromosomes, of the attributes, of the nature of a woman, of being born of a woman, or being fathered by your natural father. He says in that 51st division of Psalms, verse 5 and 6, behold, he say, now look here, now look. Behold means to look, observe. Pay attention to your makings, how you're made, what you're doing, why you do the things you do, why you say the things you say. He say, I was shapen in iniquity. I was shapen in iniquity. Iniquity means lawlessness. We was brought into a world where Satan has already been going forth, walking to and fro on the earth and from the heights of the cloud up and down. Now he's in the body, living out in the Middle East, waiting to be introduced, breaking laws. We were shaped in iniquity. We came in the world from our mother's womb being taught lawlessness, to rebel or not to do the will of God, or to be, or the word of God, or to be conscious of the word. Lawless. God ain't just talking about the laws of man or the stop sign or don't run to break the speed limit. And all that is a part of righteousness. And all of that is a part of how you're going to get in, because if you're breaking the speed limit, you are spotted or either blemished or wrinkled. And you got to keep the speed limit. You can't be going 50 miles, 60 miles an hour in a 30-mile lane. You sin it. You sin it. So you were shaping in iniquity. You were brought in. Came out your mother womb being taught to do the contrary things, the things that are against life. You came in being taught how to smoke and how to drink and how to cuss. Now, some homes are blessed that there are men, children born in the house, the household of God, the household of faith, or a house of prayer, their parents saved, and they are immediately brought up. And it's a place of righteousness. But he said, I was shaped in iniquity. From your mother's womb you came out. They taught to party and to be a whoremonger, or to be a fornicator, to be a sodomite. This is what you saw, and you imitated what you saw. He said, in sin did my mother conceive me. And it shows right there that the devil don't just get you after you're born. He is possible. He was given the possibility or the authority to afflict from the womb out, not after you come out the womb. There's affliction in the shape of iniquity. I taught a message, and I have multiple posters that I teach on the shape of iniquity and the effect that it has. And it goes into deformity, people who are deformed, and sin caused these things, curses caused these things, rebellion, something that the ancestors did, and sometimes chemical inducement from plants around you, or factories around you, stuff going in your water, stuff in your food that can cause some growths or some deformities. And then there's things people just flat out be born looking the strangest way. These are in alignment or in the category of the shape of iniquity. It's out of the bounds of the law. It does not fit in the mold of the image and the likeness of God, which God was is trying to, with all his heart and possible and messages globally, to keep you, to help you keep your likeness and your image. Well, we kept the image, but when we sinned, we had to come back to the likeness and inherit the Spirit of God, amen, that we can live out of the fruit of the Spirit, or out of the divine nature of God, or out of the divine power of God, getting back to that likeness. That's the part Satan was thinking. And he is on the other side trying to conform people to another image and likeness. He said, I was shaped in iniquity. I was shaped in lawlessness. I was brought into families. All they do is party and drink and glut. Just eat. Just party. Just drink. Just go from woman to woman, man to man, sleep with animals, objects, blow-up dolls now to replace human love. You say, I'm shaped in iniquity. My mother in sin, she conceived me. I was born. Satan, when Adam gave it, everything over to Satan, and Jesus came and took all that back and gave it to the church, not to the world leaders. He gave all the power of the kingdoms of the world, the authorities over everything, gave you power over spirits because you begin to serve the God of the spirit, the Father of spirits. So that gave you authority in that realm. And Satan don't like that. And he say, Satan was given access to the womb, the gateway, the only way that anybody can enter in legally is through that woman's womb. Anything born outside of that in a laboratory, or born on a vial, or on a culture, thingamajig in this scientific lab, that's illegal. It's not God. It's going to be born, if it don't pass through that womb, to inherit the likeness, the image, all the attributes, the molecules, whatever you're made up of in your body, there is a six molecule, a cell structure of a man. That's why I say you were born the sixth day, and then the number six. There's six major ingredients that make us up. And when they've been stealing from us, the devil and his angels and all these other entities that they created aside from us, that are your major scientists working among our doctors and our scientists and causing these great evil inventions of these creatures and beings. They are never perfect. They can never make a man or a woman like God can. They are mutilated. They are deformed. They'll misshape it. They'll put more on it or create more on it. They is making people like unto the image of, like Paul said in Romans 1, like unto trade in the glory. Trade in your glory. Your glory is to be a beautiful woman. You were made a woman. The devil don't want you to be that. You were made a man. He wants you to change all of that. Gave up that first glory, the outer robe, and you gave that up to become something like unto a beast or some other creature or thing. And then God don't want anything that's, when you willfully do that, mutilate yourself, he don't have nothing to do with that afterwards, especially when you start cutting your organs and stuff out. Now, people don't believe it because they don't understand the depths of Satan. They don't understand the depths of the message, blaspheming, the depths of reprobation when God means God rejects you. You say, that don't look like me. What is that? That don't look like me. That is not me. That is, I don't want anything that's not of me. Don't look like me. If I didn't make it, it was on the potter's wheel.
from the garden out through the womb of the mother is a child, as a potter's wheel. You're inside the wheel when you're in that your mother's womb. And Satan get in there and mess it up, and then from the womb out, start deforming babies. Babies coming out now with cancer. Who does that? Who gives people cancer? The devil. Who gives them epilepsy? The devil. Who gives them two heads, three legs, five legs? Praise God. No arms. The devil. Even though God can, they get saved and God can be glorified and use them. I've seen him use some people magnificently. Born without organs, it wasn't self-afflicted. It was done to them without knowledge, without any say-so, that God would be merciful to that vessel, because they couldn't help it, because either the parents was on too many drugs or went in testing, or they did tests and hired them to try this on them and that in, and it afflicted them later on in their children, and it wasn't the child's fault. But when you could become a grown man or a grown woman in your right mind and start doing stuff to your body that you ought not to do, putting stuff on you, taking stuff off that was meant to be to keep you in perfect image and likeness, and you start mutilating, taking off, and then all that confusion, God said, that's what reprobation is. I mean, God reject you. He walk away from you and turn you over and say, he don't own you no more. He don't own you. And you've been turned over to 28 to 32 other entities from the last verses of Romans 28, the first chapter, verses 28 through 32. But look at this. And I will, to go back, to piggyback on what I was saying about dealing with this sodomite spirit, the Holy Ghost just quickened me to go back. Now, if you look up in that further verse, Romans 1 and maybe 29 or 30, somewhere in between those 28 through 32, what God said. Now, when I start punishing the sodomite, now you ain't got to worry about, God said, having to wake up them sodomites and apologize to them if I don't judge those who are doing it today. Oh, God is being merciful because of prayer warriors, people pleading for mercy, buying time for them, even in their wickedness, saying, God, have mercy, the devil has deceived us, and da, 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 da. But God said, when I punish those who do it, same-sex relationship, or in the beast sleeping with animals, or sleeping with their nieces, nephews, sons, and daughters, when I start punishing them, he said, I'm not only going to punish them that do it, but I'm going to punish them that have pleasure in them that do it, entertainment, just like your mud deer movies in your house right now. Your mud deer and all the men dressing like women, and you, it's funny to you when a man get up and dresses in front of your sons and daughter, and you helping the confusion. You adding to the power of this beast, because you got it in your house. And you wonder why the stronghold won't release. You praying. You say, wonder why I won't leave my son. Wonder why I won't leave my daughter. You need to check your security. Check everything in your house down to pictorial images, paintings, books, movies, videos, DVDs. Get them out of there. And when you rid your house of all that and you put some prayer up in there, then you'll be justified in overthrowing and conquering that thing, because you don't have nothing attached to you that agree with it. You don't laugh with it. You don't play with it. You got to get rid of all of that. You can't even play games with it. Praise the Lord. You can't be best friends to somebody in that lifestyle, and you a man or woman of God. Because you say, oh, this my buddy, my, no, uh-uh. And so the Bible says, God, when this punishment, when God found out or not, don't fool yourself. Now, they got their flags up, and they doing their thing across the nation. And America has seduced all the nations to commit fornication against God and agree with it. Let them do it. They got to do something. And they don't even acknowledge God anymore from the political pulpits. God say, when I send down and fire is coming again because it ends in fire, when I send fire, I'm not only going to punish them that do it, but them that have pleasure. You better hurry up and get rid of all that stuff out of you. Movie collection. He said, I'm going to punish them. That you having pleasure in them that do it. You say, oh, that's so funny. Let me tell you, that's craftiness. Satan knows that he need to weaken your ministry or your prayer life. You will never have authority over that spirit. You won't be able to cast it out. Ain't nothing you can see that would be affected. Talking about, oh, you know, you can be free from that. Let me pray for it. No, your prayer is not going to work because of them very movies in your collection, in your house that you sit and laugh with over on your halftime or on your resting time, you laughing and giggling at this foolishness. This is one of the strongest holds in the world globally. Satan wants an image. And I think I started out on this radio broadcast dealing with Revelation 15 on the three other stages before the mark of the beast. It's craftily done. It's in crafts, levels, degrees. And I was trying to bring it to the people everywhere I go, but they say, oh, that's too deep. That's too hard for the people. And I've had a preacher that had me to run a revival in Fort Pierce, Florida, and tell me, now, sister, I know you're a demon buster. Now, you see all the money, because the musicians, all of them was homosexual. You can smell stuff on them. You can tell they, and they had their lips shining, they have lip gloss, man with lip gloss on, I'm playing the keyboard, and all. You can tell as soon as they get out, they run into the hotel on each other. He said, don't preach on it. There's big money in here tonight. Now, don't preach on it. We ain't going to have no money. They gave a whole lot of money that night, though, but I preached. They still got a very good offering. And because I didn't comply to his, the way he wanted me to run that revival, I taught and I talked from how I was bound to that spirit. I was molested at 9 years old by a female cousin who I was able to forgive before she died in transit. She had gave her life to the Lord, but the Lord told me when my mama called me and said she was finna die, you go forgive her and tell her to forgive herself. Don't let her cross over without your forgiveness. I left my place at the time in Valdosta, Georgia, traveled all the way back to Jacksonville, Florida, and went to her room, and they say she was in a coma with yellow jaundice all over her, and she was not conscious. She won't hear you, but I know even if a person in a coma, they still aware of what's going on because you have an eternal spirit. It don't sleep. It's not in a coma. You may be blind to some spiritual things, but you're a spirit. You can't put it in a coma. You can have a lack of knowledge. That means blinded in mind or comprehension. You have your mindset is lack of knowledge. You don't understand things. But I went down there and I forgave her. And I said, you remember me? Because I hadn't seen her in so many years. And that's what led me many years into lesbianism. Dressing like a man, riding a motorcycle. I had a bald head with an earring in my nose. They used to call me Pistol Pete. Back in them days, gambling, selling drugs, robbing people. I did a whole lot of crazy things when I was young because of the pain in my life. Something was given to me that I didn't want. I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for that. And a lot of people today are in trouble with that spirit. That's why you got to take time to discern in deliverance service and whom you can speak to right away that has this. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes you got to wait. You got to speak it. Then next time lay hands or whatever, you got to figure out how they was taking over because there's three ways the sodomite spirit of getting people. Four ways I've learned in the past few years, but at your own will, by ignorance and by force and through sexual transfer. People you sleep with, you don't know nothing about who they've been with and all that. Whatever they have in their loins, they have joined to their loins right below their hip cavity. Once they have sex with you or penetrate you, what spirit on them from other people that they've been with will be transferred into you, and whether it dominates you, take you over and have you doing it, or lay dormant until you conceive a child and enter the child and come out and have dominion, it's going to get it. I'd say when I start punishing the sodomite, you who we point the finger, we sit in the seat of the scornful at it, we stand in the way of sinners at it, but we laugh and entertainment at it. We have it in the movies and something to make us laugh. Everybody have big dinners, have mud beer and boo and all this kind of mud beer, sprudel and all that. You better get rid of that stuff in a hurry. Because if you don't, if it don't get your children, which is after what's left of virginity and innocence, it's going to bring a spirit of adultery, and it's going to create a succubus, incubus, start coming up to your husband before you know y'all out of love. You don't stop making love for some unknown reason. You go cold some kind of way, and that is something dark. There's a third person there. But God said, I'm going to punish them that's doing it. Don't you worry about the LGBTQ. Don't you worry about all that. I got them. Everything is numbered. Everything is numbered. No sin shall go unpunished. That's what Solomon said all through Ecclesiastes, I mean, through Proverbs many times. He said, I was conceived in sin. We was born in a time where sin was activated in your womb. Now you was born, but you wasn't accountable for sin, a little wrong thing, because you wasn't sin conscious. You didn't even know what that is till you reached the age of 12. 12 is when Jesus came into the knowledge and went into knowledge. It showed right there, 12, that children go into being responsible for their own sins. Other than that, the sins of the children is on the parents. It's time for you to bend that sap while it's young. Train it up. And because you know you're going to have sin or some iniquity or wickedness from the ancestors pass through your lines. It's still continuing through your lines, and it's going to take the Holy Ghost to control all of those elements, all of those curses, all of those woes, all of those troubles, all of those desires, all of those miseries, those bondages. And look what he says here. He said now, he said, behold, I was shaping in iniquity. Look at the shape of it, the demonstration of it. And then in the sin, my mother conceived me. And verse 6 said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. God wants truth in the inward parts. He know we got a lot of problems with our flesh because we was forced into a situation. We didn't have no say-so over it. Like Paul said in Romans 8, he said, we were made subject to sin. We were made subject to these things without our knowledge, without our say-so. We were born into this. We came into the world. We ain't know nothing about all of this until we got here. We was born into a situation that we had to deal with. We was powerless against it until we passed through the kingdom of God, through a real church to make us aware and empower us on how to resist it. And not to follow on to no iniquity or sin, to transgress, whether it's besetting sin, sin of omission or commission, or whether it's a trespass or a transgression. He say, God desire truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. The hidden part, what's hidden? Nobody, man been trying to capture what they call God particle, means the human spirit. They can't capture it. It belongs to God. I mean, all souls are his, but they can't capture it. They can't capture it. God desire truth in your hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom in my spirit. The part that man, that's untouchable, that's the place God reserved for himself, the human spirit, the real you. The flesh has its effect, has its influence over your spirit, and that's why we have to do, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:1, and he included himself as an apostle. And I hear Apostle Clarendon say this a lot. We're going on to perfection. We are not perfect yet. We're striving. There's some things we are perfect in because we don't do no more. I don't smoke no more. I used to smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. Amen. Praise God. I used to snort a lot of cocaine. I took Black Beauty's purple Macam dots. I smoked toothpaste. I mean, I've been on some drugs. I've snorted heroin because I didn't want to shoot it in my arm. And I snorted and it ate up my nose on the inside. So that made me stop hard by being the cocaine. Praise the Lord. And we did all of those things. But God said, I desire truth in your inward parts. And then you see a different, you going, once you say, Lord, have mercy and forgive me of my sins, you are going into the process of a born-again stage, a different birthing. You're going through your second birthing of your inward parts. And look at Ezekiel says, Ezekiel 36, verses 26 through 27. Now, if you desire truth today in your inward parts, let me tell you something. God, Jesus said in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. There's nothing God would tell you. You get the Spirit of God, he's going to give you truth. If you get up every day, well, what am I going to learn today? What's going to be fresh today? You get a daily bread from God. Now you got to seek God. Now you got to get up and give yourself over to knowledge. And I love learning. I'm attracted to knowledge. Oh, I'm attracted to anointed people. I love anointed people. Oh, people know what they're talking about. Have a revelation or understanding. Know how to bring that word and explain it. Amen. And coming out of their own lords, you could tell they paid for it and not reading it out of a book, out of some book somebody else said, which makes it powerless. When you pay for it yourself, it's coming out of your spirit. You labored for that. Even though I have more thesauruses and Bibles, I don't own not one preacher around the world book. Never have owned it. Ask my son, Minister Jones. I'm not telling you. I got on my face and still do every day. God, give me bread today. Give me something fresh, something right now, what's happening right now, information for right now. I want a revelation for right now. What's happening in my hour, this hour, right? What's going to happen in a few minutes, God? He said, you're entering a different birth when you say, yes, Lord, I surrender. Forgive my sins. I want to be born again. Give me a new spirit. Praise God. Ezekiel 36 and 26 through 27 said, God said, that a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That means your heartbeat will begin to pant for God. The things of God, what pleases God will please you. And the more you pray, whatever way God feels, you'll be feeling it. If God grieves, you'll grieve. If God is happy, you'll be, some days you get up, you'll be overwhelmed. And you say, oh, God must be pleased some today. And then there are days you get up, there's a heaviness, you don't know why. And it's God. God said that in Ezekiel 22 and 30. I want to move on prayer wise and let them know I'm angry. I'm going to destroy that city. Get up some people to pray to me and tell me why I shouldn't destroy your son, your daughter, or your mama, or your pastor, or your political leader, or tell this city in the earth trembling. You know too many trembles mean massive earthquake. And why shouldn't I go and let your city split? He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. And he said, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statue. That word, you walk in statue, and you'll start forming and walking as a mature. A statue means something standing upright, straight. You're going to walk up straight. You're going to walk up right. And when people see you, they're going to see you tall, not with your head down, but your knowledge and wisdom. As Solomon say, cause your face to shine. You can tell you're spending time with God. There's an anointing. There's an awe on you. People say, ooh, who is that? Something on them. Something about them people over there. Why they look like that. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And I was reading in St. John, the third chapter, that coincide with this, and I know I can't finish this today, praise the Lord, but I come again as apostle, permit me to bring a part five. John 3 and 5 says, but Jesus, Yeshua, says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except that man be born of the water. You got to be born twofold water dispersion. The word is a type of water. That word got to change you. Born of the water, that word. And then the second phase of water is the baptism. It's like the liquid grave going to bury your old flesh. And when you come up out that water baptism, you're coming up in the newness of life. You ain't going to do that old stuff no more. He say, and you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And of the Spirit. And that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:1, that we got to cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. The stuff that you think that's continued here, spirit also means veiled or hidden, not seen to outerts or things outside of you or people outside of you or people around you. But he said that you got to be born of the spirit. You got to have a new spirit from the scriptures we read above. These, and he say, and unless you are born of the water, you gotta have that word and baptism. It must need that we fulfill all righteousness. And while we have time, and we have very little time left, few days left, as the scripture said, you need to do these things. Get to some water. Ask somebody to baptize you after you repent. Get saved. He said, now, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, if you don't go through these processes, now, some people can get saved, and at the point of the rapture take place, and you hadn't been able to go get water baptized, that don't mean you're going to be left. God knows the sincerity of how time didn't permit you to have time to be emerged or to be baptized, and that will not prevent you from going in or from further growth. But the time will come where you will bury your sins. And God, that's twofold. The word of God says that he'll cast them in the sea of forgiveness. Means he erased your record. You're starting over. You have the privilege to start over as though you have never did anything else wrong. You're not responsible or accountable for anything that you've done in the past. People may remember them and remind you. And there will be people, places, and things that remind you of what you used to be. But as far as God is concerned, if you are sincere and really mean it, he will forgive you. And in your books up above, the books, they open and they erase that. It's destroyed, that part of your life. You get to start over from that day one. You are accountable still for all the things after the blood. You got to be careful what you do after that, you know. Because something the scripture said in Hebrews 6, there remaining no sacrifice for sin when you're going back to those beggarly things. But listen, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And guess what that is? You say enter the kingdom of God. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You will not be able to enter these arenas, these realms where you've always been a person, praise the Lord, that have always confused and stressed and, you know, always worried and, you know, just no left self-esteem, no courage, no peace, just noise, confusion all the time. You won't know peace until you get the Spirit of God. Because when you read the attributes of the Spirit, which is the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, tells you what comes with the Spirit coming inside of you, the Holy Ghost, and peace is there. Peace, no matter what happens in the world or what people do to you, you can go through it better. You don't get up and rage and fight carnally because they fight carnally, they disrespect you, they cuss at you, they shoot at you. Don't mean you do that back at them. You have peace. You're able to endure, to take stuff better. They endure stuff better. And he's saying, joy in the Holy Ghost. But the kingdom of God is righteousness. God rained down righteousness on us. We take on the righteousness which is from above. He'll give us the ability to do what's right. When we was always under that order, under the nature or the attributes of our parents who were born in sin and shaped in iniquity themselves. But this is what the kingdom of God is. It's not all about eating and drinking in the natural realm or even just from the table, going to church, having a good time, hearing a good sermon, just as well as you have a lot of food in your house, or just looking to have the appearance that gain is godliness, and you got a lot of food, a lot of storage. Praise the Lord. He said, it's not meat and drink. It's not about what you can get from God's hand. And I heard the woman of God say that the other day, Bishop said, we got to get to the point where we're seeking God's face and not his hand, what he give us. It's not in all this food because you got a lot of food, because you got all the things you want to drink naturally. But he said, this is what it is. It's not about the abundance of things you have in the world. And Paul made a statement, 2 Corinthians 6, where he talked about all the things that he went through, the perils and the rejection, the persecution, the storm. He said, I was poor in this world. Now, all preachers ain't living lavish. They got big houses and fabulous cars and all of that. Amen. They rich. You see all these preachers get all these things, big jets and all of that. And you look at them, and then when they teach and preach, they're just as dry as a saltine cracker. With no water. It's just like eating from them with no water. There's some missing in the element of their message or what the message that they prepared on the table. But Paul say, now they judge you by that. They say, because you ain't riding in a fabulous car or you ain't riding like them in jets, and you can't be a man or woman of God, but because you're not building your hope on things temporal, but things eternal. And Paul say, I appear to you, and I could say that he said that as poor in this world, you see me poor and struggling, but I'm packing the power of God. I'm packing a revelation. Amen. I can cast out a devil today. When you say it, they can stop. But some of us still casting out devils. Some of us are still bringing healing and deliverance. Some of us are still praying, and we ain't never stop praying. Amen. Never stop living right. He said, I may be poor in this world. I may not have that big house on the hill like you got to have that fabulous God. I mean, I can eat at the finest rep, but Paul say, but it's poor in this world, but I'm rich in faith. I'm rich in the word. I'm rich. I'm rich in eternal things. I'm rich in the word. Glory to God. I'm rich in my spirit, packing an anointing. The evidence is there. Emmanuel is written all over my face. The wisdom of God causing my face to shine. God's face is shining on my face. The devil fear and tremble. When you go into a room or in the grocery store, everything stop and look at you, the children, the adults, everything turn around. Ooh, who is that? It ain't what you got on. It's what's on your face. It's the aura, and all those who see the spirit realm have a gift, and they're seeing big angels coming in with you wherever you go. You say, I'm poor in this world. I may be struggling, can have to pay my bills sometimes, but I'm rich in faith. When I open my mouth, you see where I'm rich is at. And so he said, that's what the kingdom of God, it ain't meat and drink, and all this stuff finna run out. Everything passing away, everything is failing. But it's righteousness going to get you through. It's what's doing the right thing going to get you through. It's not judging and standing in the way of sinners or being scornful or being bitter or being a fault finder, but you're a fault mender. He say that's what's going to get you through. It's righteousness going to take you through. Righteousness will make you feel full and you can be content even in a time of famine. God will make it like you full, like you ate something. Praise God. Amen. And peace. Everybody else having a fit, about to break down, lose their mind, jumping off of cliffs and buildings because they done lost this and that, all their money gone, and this happened and that happened. And you got peace in your storm among all the death. As you pass, and we all now are passing through the valley of the shadow of death. And guess what? We are approaching confrontation of Ai. We have just left a Mount Carmel experience. Amen. You ain't got to worry about the witches and the warlock because the shifting of power, the transferring of power is in effect. Even though, amen, our opposition is riding Satan. It's coming after the church. Amen. Praise God. We just left Mount Carmel, where you see the season of the false anointing was running its course. Looked like the people running to teachers having itching ears and running to the false prophet and the false prophetess. Amen. And they was look like they are prospering above the true men and women of God. And we're suffering and doing without. And they're giving all their money and everything they got to the false people lying and go prophesy on top of their raggedy life, on top of their prayerlessness. Praise God and tell them they're great and all, because they want their money. But we just left Mount Carmel, praise God, face to face with the prophets, looking at them on television, looking at them illuminating, being everywhere, praise God, in this transitioning of power. We're leaving Mount Carmel, and we're about to head to AI. And I started off trying to get there, praise the Lord. Earlier, amen. And if you look in that word on AI, amen, and look at the day, praise God, and that word, Solomon talks about it in Ecclesiastes 1, and everything that was is now, and you got to see yesterday as today. Praise the Lord. They went through AI before they could get into Canaan. We'll got to pass through AI. We're facing, amen, the robot takeover. Amen. And they said and made a declaration, oh, praise God, through the technological realms and through their mouths, that AI is going to conquer man. We're about to face, the church is about to face AI, which is another enemy. Amen. A metal enemy. Praise God, with the mind of man, the mind of the beast, Satan giving life and causing to speak metals, and even some disembodied spirits are inhabiting these robots and these things that they're making. They appreciate those bodies over man perishes. Our bodies perishing, so they're getting them things that they think going to last a long time. But we're leaving Mount Carmel, and we're facing AI. And you look at Joshua. Joshua leading the children of Israel. Praise God. He led them through AI. You had to go through AI and conquer AI to get to Canaan. We're going to have to face AI again. Now you study AI in the scriptures. Same thing we face, and you look on the walls and read the riddles of the stones. They had same electronic creatures and beings there. Oh, my God, I'm telling you, what was is now. Passing through AI. We are faced with AI. After AI, Canaan, the promised land. After AI, you got to face this last giant. You got to face this last wonder, satanic wonder. You got to face this demon that's monitoring us, listening to us, Satan's hybrid daughters, the sirens, the voice of Alexa, the voice of all of these spirits in the satellite speaking to you, telling you where to turn and how far away you from the city you in. Those that, listen, those are spirit beings. We name them Alexa, Alexandra. I mean, you look at the names and look the names of them, you'll find they were way back there in ancient days, same names crossing them. Omnicron. You got to see. Y'all see that? We're facing AI again. After AI, the rapture. AI, that's including all the that Satan has gathered together to make an army against the lamb and the lamb's wife. And let me finish this scripture. Now, we say the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, Romans 14:17, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then look, Luke 17, Jesus said in 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. And the first level of glory you receive, your first glory after you confess your sin, you get the Holy Ghost was the first glory. All right? We are entering the last glory. Haggai talks about it, and Paul said in Hebrew, the first glory, kingdom of God is within you. Everything you need is in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in your spirit, the human spirit. That's the glory within you. Romans 8:9 says, But ye are not of in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Do you have the Spirit of God in you today? Are you sure that you have the Spirit of God? You got to have it. That's your guaranteed ticket through. That's your guaranteed weapon that you'll be able to withstand against this evil. You got to fight spirit with spirit. You got to fight the spirit of the Antichrist with the Spirit of God, which is superior, supreme. Amen. Do you have the Holy Ghost? You are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, now dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you haven't received it, you are not his yet. You are not his yet. All right? After receiving the Holy Ghost, you are not you're going through your total transformation. These transformations, these transits we are going through and seeing the world changing and transiting themselves, transitioning to other things, we are transitioning and transforming too until we reach the final, another word for it in the four gospels is transfiguration. As Jesus went out, that's the last glory, styled as the last glory, that you see all these winds blowing and these earthquakes and these volcanoes erupting, letting you know it's about to come upon you by much prayer. You got to stay in prayer to guarantee that when it falls, it's going to fall in the rim of prayer around the altars. That's when that last glory is going to come on them spending time with God. Because the closer you get, like everything on him will be on you. In Romans 8 and 29, verses 33, just part of that I wrote, he say, we are being conformed to the image of his son, who is firstborn of many brethren. Jesus is your example. Now we uphold the upright. We mock the perfect man and uphold the upright. We looking at people that live right, but you are not to duplicate anybody down here. Be like Jesus. Be like this word say. Don't try to be like no preacher you know. Be like Jesus. I hear preachers say, I'm giving y'all my spirit. I'm giving, and you going to be like me. I'll see you. No, you better be like Jesus. There ain't no flaws. No idiosyncrasies there. No insecurities there. No failure there when you press on into the full stature of the Son. And you read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it say, for it became him, talking about Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, for whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory. Everybody ain't going to reach sonship because they have a disobedient pattern. They keep falling into sin. They keep going back, picking up old habits and old ways. Amen. Everybody will not reach the full stature of sonship. Amen. Praise God. They won't make it to that glory. He said Jesus came to bring many sons into glory, and to make the captain of their salvation. He is their salvation perfect through suffering. Suffering is supposed to perfect us. And this is why we got to do all possible to spend time with God, study that word every day. If you cannot open a literal Bible, praise the Lord, then listen to it. Turn on a Bible tape. Don't let the sunrise and the sunset and the moon rise without hearing the word of God uttered or read or quoted in a day. Even Paul told us to be not negligent, to neglect so great a salvation, to neglect this opportunity to truly be saved and to taste the good word of God, to continue to feel the powers of the world to come, to be made partakers of the heavenly gift. Amen, as Hebrews 6 said. And Ephesians 4 says that in order, if you want to go on to perfection, if you want to enter this glory that Jesus is talking about, you've got to have fivefold ministry people, administrators passing through your life. You got to have that. Ephesians 4 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. We cannot reach perfection without all these administration, and that's what it's saying. Father, I thank you for this word today. I pray in Jesus' name. As we humble ourselves, we acknowledge you in all our ways. We thank you, Lord, for preparing this table before us in the presence of our enemies and even those who are of the household of faith and all those who are called by the name of Jesus, the family of God. We pray in Jesus' name that you forgive sin in the name of Jesus, that you will blot out transgression.
Down with wrinkle relief.
God, we pray that this word fall on good ground and that they will believe and conceive and bring forth the very fruit that you said to presently be manifested. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Forgive sin. Blot out transgression. Forgive unpaid vows. Forgive unpaid debts. Forgive sins of omission, sins of commission. Forgive besetting sins. Forgive idolatry. Forgive idleness. Oh, God, forgive if we've coveted anything of our neighbors. Have mercy and forgive us. We pray that record be cleansed today and that the people will be strengthened with almighty and inner man to your glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Back into your hands, Apostle Clarity.
Yeah, after
it's
been washing everything.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Is
the
feet
going up?
Are they
still wrinkled?
Good. You should be.
Somebody, please mute your phone, please.
Here, Nate, start walking. Not just my life
is going to go. Oh. Go ahead. Now. Thank you, Evangelist. God bless you, woman of God. That old enemy trying to make me cough again. Jesus rebuking me in your name. Hallelujah. Now,
hallelujah,
is the time for whoever has backslidden or who has never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, come forth now. I urge you. Urge you. Pay attention to the message that was given today. No evangelist, there was a lot of people. I think I'm calling you by your correct title, evangelist. She's a prophetess, I'm so sorry. Prophetess, evangelist, apostle, you're everything. I think you're
that's
all
okay.
Bible.
No, I'm a prophetess. That's okay. Prophetess is fine for me.
Prophetess.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. But the messages that you bring across, it's just coming through all different lines. Hallelujah. Title doesn't matter. The word of God is being preached correctly. It's being taught correctly. And I applaud you for it, a woman of God. You know, boast not of yourself, but let another man boast of you. And I'm boasting of you. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Now, for those who have never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and those who have the backslidden, all the prodigal sons and daughters, come back, come out of the pit where the pigs eat, come back home. The Father is waiting to receive you back, just as the prodigal son was. He's waiting to receive you back. And those who have never received him as their Lord and Savior, do it now. I urge you, please do it now. Pay attention to what the prophet has just said. Look at all the tsunamis. There's something I saw on the news earlier today where came over my phone where it said about a 500-year-old earthquake or something or another. It may just cause a tsunami now, 500 years ago. So it don't matter how long ago. The word of God is coming through just like the Bible says it was. There will be earthquakes in diverse places, you know, storms, out of season. It's all things. Pay attention to your weather. I'm a weather buff. I pay attention to all these things that are going on that weren't happening in certain areas, but now they are everywhere, every country. Lakes are disappearing. In China, a lake disappeared just a few months ago. Lake's been there for years, and it just went right down in the ground. It's dried out. What happened to the lake? Huh. What happened? The time is marching on. The coming of Christ is near. Your redemption is nigh when you see these things going on. Tornadoes, hurricanes, all these things are happening in places that it's not normal, you know? Way down in the deep south where we live, we didn't have snow, but now like every 4 or 5 years or less, then here comes snow down in the New Orleans area. We never had that like that. We had flurries back in 63 and in 58, you know, and flurries, not real hard snows. But now, we had for the first time in my life on Christmas Day, 2004, we had snow, and it covered the whole city with about 3 inches of snow, and it put New Orleans almost to a standstill because we didn't have anything to clear those things off the street. But you got to pay attention. Pay attention, people. I've seen Christmas at 16 degrees, and the next year Christmas is at 85. It's still the 25th of December when it's celebrated. So it's the same time a year later. You know, you don't know. You don't know what the weather's going to be. You don't know when a storm will blow up, a tornado. Pay attention. Life is the book of life, which is the Bible, is being fulfilled on a daily basis. You know, please pay attention and know that Christ is on his way back. We don't know exactly when, but when he split those clouds open and come forth with his army behind him, it's too late to be trying to run and hide. You know, there's going to be a general panic, but if you panic now, you avoid the rush. You know, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, receive him now, because you don't know, I don't know, nobody knows when they're going to cross over. You might get in a terrible accident and be on your back for 10 years and you live, and somebody just get a trip and fall and die right there. You know, nothing real bad, you know. Or just sit down and die. You don't know. Don't take a chance. Don't play with your eternal life. Receive Jesus as your Savior. Read your Bible. Okay. Now, I'm going to offer this prayer to you. It's in the book of Romans. If you have a Bible, turn it to the book of Romans in chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. That's all you need. Listen. First, you hear what the word of God says. Think about when you read this first scripture, verse 8. Okay. The word is near you. It's in your mouth. So if it's in your mouth, that means you got to speak it out. I don't know if you speak, I'm not correct or not, but the word is always correct. It's in your mouth. You know, I can say, this person saved in the name of Jesus. I can say that all day long, but you got to see it for yourself. You know, you have to see it. It's in your mouth, not mine. It's in yours. It's in mine for me to say for me and for everyone. Now, if you can't speak, God can hear you thinking. God knows. The enemy doesn't know, but God will excuse if you can't speak, but it's in your mouth. You can try and utter it, but you're still speaking it out. God knows. Now, the next thing is to admit that you have been a sinner, and you want Jesus to save you, give you his approval, and he will. God loves us. That's why he sent Jesus in the world to die for us, because he loves us so much. You know, I urge anybody, don't make the mistakes that I made in my life. And there's so many mistakes I made in my life, I'd be here all day long trying to tell you all the mistakes I made. Because we all fall short of his glory each and every day. That too is in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. You can read it. If you don't have a Bible, write these scriptures down and read it for yourself. Get a Bible, borrow a Bible, stop in a bookstore anyway, pick up a Bible and fan through it and look at these scriptures, you know. Buy it. Go to the library. They have Bibles in the library. Buy your Bible, though. Doesn't have to be a super expensive Bible. Just buy your Bible. King James, New King James, New Living Translation, Logos Bibles. They're all good Bibles. Read the Word daily. Utter the name of Jesus daily. Ask God to forgive you for your sins daily. More than once a day. All through the day, Father, forgive me. I may have had a bad thought or what I think might be a bad thought. I'm asking forgiveness if I did. If it was a bad thought, forgive me, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay. Now, verse 9 says, if you believe in your heart that God, Jesus died for our sins on Calvary, not his, ours. God sent him here on this earth to die for our sins as an atonement for us because we didn't have the power like Jesus. He sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, that not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So just admit it. Speak it out loud. Like I said, you don't have to scream to the top of your lungs. Just open your mouth and speak. If you whisper it out, it's still being put in the atmosphere. Once you speak it, it's put in the atmosphere. If you whisper it or yell it, it's in the atmosphere. Now the enemy knows that you're receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you believe in your heart that God sent Jesus to die for our sins. Hallelujah. You are now saved. Just by admitting and confessing that in verse 9 of chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Now, if you've made this short confession, you're now saved. Your slate is clean. All your sins have been forgiven in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, your next step is to be baptized. And if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, by the way, if you said this confession, you must repent. Repentance is not going back to your previous way of living, doing the things that you were doing. Repent. Don't go back to it. Leave it alone. You know, just don't go back and stay away from it. Don't go back at any time. And the Lord will forgive you of all your sins, all your iniquities. And you made that confession. The next step is to be baptized. And if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 40, and it says, and Peter said unto them, repent. The first thing he said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit, and you are saved. Now, if you want more proof, go to the book of Romans, chapter 4, and verse 12. And it says, nor is there any other name mentioned under heaven by which you must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Now, invite people to your baptism, and by doing so, you are drawing a soul to the Lord. And they may just accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior just by going to your baptism. They may say, well, how can I do this? All you got to do is confess. Give it to them. Tell them. Tell them what I just told you. Read the Bible and tell them what I just told you. Book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. That's all you need. And just confess and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. And then be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and when you do this, continue every day to read the scripture read some scripture out of the Bible, even if it's just a sentence out of any book of the Bible. Read a sentence at least and ask the Holy Spirit to interpret to you what is telling you in that scripture. And when doing so, remember others and try to be an ambassador to try to get everybody to read the scriptures. Now, congratulations for receiving Jesus as your Savior. Congratulations, brothers and sisters who have repented and come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. God bless each and every one of you. Bless your family. And by doing so, you can draw your family into, excuse me, Lynn. Okay, I'm sorry. By receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have asked someone else to receive Jesus. If they receive Jesus as their Savior, that person's reward is accredited to you. They're going to be rewarded for doing it, and you're going to be rewarded for drawing a soul to Christ. God bless each and every one of you. Speak it to your children, your grandchildren. If you don't have any children, speak it to your nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, cousins, neighbors, enemies, co-workers. Tell everybody about Jesus Christ. There's no glory in telling people about a new car that you bought, because half of them are going to be jealous because you bought a new car or you got a house. You can't be jealous about you receiving Jesus because it's there for all of us. You don't need no money. That don't do any good. You need the prayer of salvation. We all need Jesus Christ. God bless each and every one of you. And I pray that the rest of this day be profitable and that you have received Jesus and you are now an ambassador and that you will bring other souls, direct them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Callender, it's back to you. And thank you, ma'am, for your sermon today. I'm going to go back and listen to the entire thing. We were handling a little business, but I'm going to listen to it all. Well, one thing I did want to say when we got near the end, when I did come on the line, how these people are, some preachers, not all, but what makes people think that they have to sell you water, bottled water, and you drink this water and you're going to be profitable? It's a sight game that they're playing to make money. You can buy a case of water for $3, and you sell each bottle for $5, you'd have made a big profit. You know, 24, sometimes they have 42 in the case. They're making megabucks. You know, how you think they're running TV shows and selling tapes and everything? Everybody and their brother and sister has a cell phone, and they all have tapes on them. Even the cheap ones, you can record stuff. You can record it for yourself. And if most people have a stereo, you can buy. If you have a problem seeing small print, like I do, I have some CDs my mother bought for me before she crossed over. A few years before she crossed over, knowing that I had a sight problem, and it was difficult for me to read smaller print. She bought a Bible for me, a King James, a New King James Bible, the King James and Old Testament and the New. They had two monitors on the CD. Alexander, can't think of his last name, and he just passed too. The man with the beautiful voice. So I forgot his name. James Earl Jones, Alexander Sorby. He read the Old Testament, and James Earl Jones read the New Testament on CDs. You can put it on and listen to it. You listen to it every day. Just listen to one of the CDs. You know, if you do this every day, you know, there's sometimes like four or five chapters of the Bible that you can put on. You read that every day. Inside of about a month, you have listened to the entire Bible, and you can go back and forth inside of a month, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, as long as you feel like putting on the CD and listen to it. You know, the Bible is being filtrated into your mind. And I found something a long time ago when I was a kid. If you listen to tapes while you sleep, your mind picks it up better, you know, and you can come back and see things that were said on that tape while you were sleeping. Believe me. So God bless each and every one of you. Let me stop jawjacking and give somebody else a chance to make comments who did hear the service. God bless you, woman of God. God bless you and your son, Minister Jones, I think his name, your son, and
yes,
Apostle
sir.
Calvin,
yes,
and your family, and everybody who's on the line. God bless each and every one of you. Have a blessed and wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bishop, for the prayer of salvation. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for your servant that delivered such a anointed word, a word that really enlightened us.
Mm-hmm.
Through the times, Lord, we just ask even right now that, Lord, you would touch her afresh and anoint her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, from the inside out, mm-hmm. Lord. We ask, God, your protection over her life, over her children and grandchildren, everything that concerns her, Lord, we ask
Amen.
You to protect right now and keep her in perfect peace, O God, as her mind is stayed on you, Lord. We ask, O God, that you bless her going and bless her coming, O God. And continue, O Lord, to provide for her, open doors that no one can close, and close doors that no one can open, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for watching over your children, your servants, the ones you have called before the foundation of the world. Even while we were messing up, Lord, you still had your hands on us. We knew that you were going to use us, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for you didn't have to, but you did it anyway. And we honor you. We praise you in Jesus' holy name. Woman of God, I just want to thank you for the word. You know, I'm studying for something, but very big to my family. So I was studying it now, and glory to God. But I heard the word. I heard all the word from the beginning to the end. And, you know, one of the things that really caught my eyes is that you was talking about the transformation of, or the trans, not transformation, the transferring of spirits. And how it can happen so easily. And a lot of times we take it for granted. And you was talking about penetrating someone. When we penetrate somebody that is not our husband or our wife, how we can pick up that spirit. We talk about that stuff all the time on Blog Talk Radio. How we can pick up the spirit or carry the spirit. And that was so essential, you know, because, and you talked about how the people are falling. And they're playing with the church, you know. They're not preaching. We just talked about that. Yeah, they did not preaching the whole word. They're giving you a part of the word, which is, and you know, we say if you speak a half truth, it's a lie. So they give you a half truth, which is a lie. And you know, I thank God for the word. I can tell that the word is awesome. I got to go back and listen to it tonight when I'm laying back, because I had a. While you was ministering, you started with, I was into it so deep, and then I got an inbox from Africa, and I started ministering to someone there, you know, because that's my business. My business is to, I'm always doing stuff for the kingdom. Not that I'm, and I always say I'm not perfect, but I'm being perfected. And from sharing with other people, it perfects you. You know, people don't know that when you're praying for people or ministering to people, it's not only for them, it's for you too. If you get strength just praying for people, you know, you get better, your footing get more secure. You know, the more I pray, the stronger I get. Hallelujah. So I thank God for the word, and I'm not going to talk too much because a lot of people are on the line. I know people want to come on there. Some other grand is on there too. She got a lot of noise going on in the background though. But every time I release a phone, I hear somebody talking in the background. So I'm going to open the line. So anybody can come on in and share.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
And please forgive me for those couple of days. God bless the word that came forward. I've been having, when you only got one phone and you have a lot of calls. So, and I'm still having problem with this phone. It shut down on me. It going slow. So glory be to God. I had my daughter do something this morning with it because I just still don't understand this phone. I can't put nobody on hold to talk to the other person. His phone hanged up, so I have some important calls, like I tell you, Apostle, with the principal. We have to send him to night school to take up a credit And then the immigration lawyer, she was calling me about some papers still need to be signed. So I was dealing with that, with the one phone. So here I am, praise to God, and, you know, I'm still going to my center. I have two centers I go to every day. I try to get out, but today I just didn't feel like it. I didn't get out the bed till about 11 o'clock. Just don't feel up to it. But praise to God. My reading is, say, God, our Father, love us. He is kind and has given us eternal comfort and wonderful hope. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Consider thereof the kindness and the sternness of God. Sternness to those who fall, but kindness to those who provide that you continue in his kindness. Romans 11:22. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Matthew 6:6. Truly, truly I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. John 16:23. If anyone among you in trouble, let them pray. If anyone happy, let them sing songs of praises. James 5:13. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Psalms 95:6-7. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescue us, though spirit are crushed. Psalms 34:18. Though you have made me see trouble, many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. Psalms 71:20-21. It is good for me to be near you, God. I choose you as my protector, and I will tell above your wonderful deeds. Psalm 73:28. May God add his blessing to his word. Amen. Amen. God bless. God blessing to everybody on the line. Praise the Lord. Good morning, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mother Grant. Thank you for that reading. And all will be well with your immigration situation for the boy and so on. All will be well. Just be patient and
yes.
Let God do his work. Let him do his work. He
yes.
works out all things for our good and for his glory. Just let him do his work. The line is open. Anyone want to respond?
God bless you. I thank God for the word. I really enjoy hearing all you guys' voice. Thank God for y'all prayers for me and my family. It's always a blessing that we can come together and sit at the table with the Lord and enjoy a morsel of word every day. And I just thank God for y'all. Thank God for all that prophetess spoke of today. Real good word, real good acknowledgement, you know, to let us see the time that we're living in. And, you know, talking about AI and how you just, you know, also see how you go in a grocery store now where they got self-checkout and all those sorts in different places where they give people ready for the chip. And so, you know, it's just a blessing to see that how the Lord give us insight and he don't keep us ignorant of Satan's devices, the things that he's doing and the things that he's planning and plotting. So I just thank God for, you know, the revelation that she gave today. And I just pray that God continue blessing her and every man and woman of God on this prayer line, that we continue getting that place and that God will prepare us and bless us, even in our finances, that we'll be able to prepare ourselves for what's coming and, you know, continue praying for our families and, you know, and ask God to give us more strategies and direction. You know, the Bible, his word says, steps of a good man are ordered by him. So I just thank God just to be here today. Just continue praying for me and my wife and my praying for the body of Christ, our leaders, that God continue pouring the Spirit out on us, that we'll be able to do his will. And I pray for our children, that God keep our children. You know, they got this new machine out now. It's called virtual reality. They're making movies about it where they trying to create this new reality away from reality, natural reality, where you can go in and put this device on your head, and you can buy land, you can be another character. If you want to be a cat, you can be a cat, a human cat. If you're a male in a natural reality, and in virtual reality, you can be a female. And it's also, you know, stealing away from your pineal gland, stealing away from your mind every time you go into it. So I never put those things on my head. I don't trust it. They made a move out about it a while back with Jim Carrey and Two-Face. It's an old Batman movie where he created this machine and he put it on everybody's head, and they were able to catch the mind of man and see inside the thoughts and put them inside this virtual world where they can, you know, they like fishing. They can be like they you know, really actual fishing, but they're inside this virtual world. So, you know, it's a lot of things that's getting ready to come, that they are getting ready to bring to the forefront for us. So just ask God to prepare us and have us, give us wisdom, but technology, not the Bible. Because a lot of, it's really not, it's fun to have this technology, but it's destroying us as families, and it's causing out of, you know, health problems, you know, from the radiation from 5G's and stuff. So we got to really be careful, and that's God to give us wisdom and strategy how to, when to use it, how to use it. It's good for us, and then it's not good for us in so many words. But I just thank God for what, you know, some of the things she said, and, you know, and then separating yourself from sin, knowing, you know, what not to watch. You know, the closer you get to God, you know, certain, the Holy Spirit remind you what not to watch. You know, when you get God, close to God, whatever he feel, you'll feel. Whatever he love, you'll love. And it'll offend the Holy Spirit, you know, when you watch the wrong thing. So I just thank God for what she said. I had to, you know, ask God to live with me. I like to watch movies and stuff, and I'm a guy, I like action movies. I said, Lord, you got to deliver me from all this shooting and blow up stuff, movies. And I said, you know, and God helped me. You know, so now, you know, I've been really, you know, going, getting away from, you know, certain movies I don't watch. I don't have, like she said, I don't have any mud deal movies in my house. And I know it offends God. Most people say, well, it's just a movie. But, you know, we're going to set an example, you know, and we preach against, you know, this stuff. You can't be watching it and letting it entertain you, too. And so I understand what she's saying. It's, you know, it's very profound words she said, and it's very knowledgeable to know what God, it's a blessing that, you know, the Heavenly Father loves us enough to send someone, which is, you know, the woman of God and men of God, that can tell us what God requires. You know, I don't know everybody will feel the same way I feel. I want to know how God feels. I want to know, if he don't want me to eat a certain thing. If he say don't wear blue, Lord, show me what blue not to wear. No, God, if you want me to wear a certain kind of shoe, tell me what kind of shoe I'm not to wear. If you don't want me to look at a certain thing, let me know. But I just want to make God happy. He deserves everything. When you look at all he has done for mankind and how great he has been to us, you know, we should always want to find out what God, and it's just a blessing that he would use men and women of God to give us a word to help us know what he requires from us and what he wants us to do. You know, and you know, many people don't have the opportunity, so it's always a blessing to be able to hear the Spirit of God, you know, and help you direct you and where he wants us to be and where he wants us to go. Because he said, if you abide in me, anything you ask shall be given. And he wants us to be in him. He wants us to be a part of him. He sent his son to die that we can be a part of his royal family. So I just thank God for the word today. Y'all just continue praying for me, and I will continue praying for y'all that we get and go all the way into Christ and be all that he called us to be and get full in him and do his will. God bless you.
Oh.
Praise the Lord. I didn't know what happened. Minister Jones phone. Leave me a beat up. Lost the signal or something. But the line is open. The word is coming. The coming final glory. The coming final glory, and it's part three that she did today. And she said a lot. And I was paying very close attention, you know, for the changes that I know she's talking about, because I see a lot and I hear a lot. These things that are being done, a lot of people are not recognizing the changes that's taking place. There's a lot of scientific changes that are taking place. I was watching last night how they're making the robot dogs and cats, and they're making robot people that will do that, doing all the work. They got a robot dog now that can fill the dishwasher, can empty the dishwasher, put the dishes away. I'm telling you, I was amazed. And they say it costs a lot of money though, and you can have this robot dog in your house, and you can say he run the vacuum. God have mercy. And you have your own. You can buy a woman, a robot woman, or a robot man, and they say they make you feel good. But I don't want a robot. I got a real woman. You know what I'm saying? But they say you can do that. This is what they're moving on to. This is what the technology is moving to. And that's what she was saying about. This is what they is moving to, so that they want to eliminate majority of the mankind on the earth. They say what I heard last night, that they want to destroy at least 90% of human race. This is what these people are trying to do. Okay? Even talked about the vaccine. They say that in years that this medicine that they're putting you can cause you to have all types of stuff going on in your body because it's nano. And I had to research that, you know. It's a nano system that they're using now. So you don't know when you go to the doctor. That's why we got to go back to the motherland. Hallelujah. We got to start doing what we did, what our forefathers did in the motherland. Start going back to the herbs. Go and start learning the plants. Learn the plants. Learn the different leaves, the different flowers, the different buds that our forefathers do. We didn't have money to go to the doctor when I was growing up. My mama tell me, go there. She said, well, go to that tree there. I want you to get four leaves from over there. She said, go over there, pick a flower from there. Go over there, pick and all that stuff. And when I get back home, she put it all in the pot. And she boiled that stuff. And she would get each one of us a cup. And she said, drink that. And I didn't care what was going on in our body. It would come out. I'm telling you, it would come out. But now today we run to the place, we run to the man, because the man tells us he's going to give us a little white pill that's full of a whole bunch of stuff, additives, and then the pill helping us, it makes us worse. We may feel good for the first two or three days, but then in the long run, it takes us out. So we got to run back to the hospital, run back to the doctor, and then we'll be seeing the mortician. So we have to pay attention. We got to get back to the basics. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them all the herbs of the field, all the herbs. He said, this is for your survival. And we come into America now, you know, and we take up the American way. We go to England, we take up the British way. We forget about what we had in Africa, what our foreparents had in Africa. We forget all about it. So we're using the main stuff. That's why they have so much control over us. We lose our heritage. We completely lose our heritage. And we are feeding our body all of this stuff that don't do nothing for our bodies. So anyway, the line is open. A lot of people on the line. And glory to God. If you just want to say praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It was a strong word. We're getting strong words all the time. Yeah, the line is open.
Good morning.
Pastor Washington Bishop will be on tomorrow. Come
Thank God. Good morning, Apostle. How are you this morning? I'm calling from my office, but I'm here listening. I have the computer going. I turned it on late, so I didn't get the message. But I was listening to the comments, and then where I'm looking at, where you have in your tags the coming final glory part three, and in your tags say trials, tribulations, harassment, stand and repent. And one of the things that really stand, well, the whole, all the pens stand out, all the PowerPoints that you have listed stands out, but on the Sunday school lesson last night, as I was teaching the Sunday school lesson, was talking about the rise of Babylon, and it coincides with the coming of the final glory, how God restored Babylon. Back when it was torn, when the walls fell down, it was a building, but as God rebuilt, as he used the wicked king to Cyrus to rebuild the temple, it is now the spirit. So it went from the building to the spirit of God. And one of the things
tell him
that
don't go nowhere. Stay there in the hotel.
In your PowerPoint, it says repent. So the first thing that we have to do, we have to acknowledge. We have to acknowledge. And then we have to repent. Because if we don't acknowledge and take accountability for what we're doing in our lives, when the coming of the final glory come in, there won't be any time left. That's it. The time hand and the time is now. And I understand we're going through a lot of trials, we're going through a lot of troubles and tribulations, but we got to be ready when Jesus comes. If we don't stand firm, we got to be ready when Jesus comes. I'm going back and listen to this. I just turned the computer on late because I had a lot waiting for me at my desk when I got here this morning. So I went on and got that out, but I just said, wait a minute, you know what? I've been sitting here all this time. I can just turn my computer on and just listen to it from my computer because you had this set up from day one. So that's what I decided to do, and I was getting the comments, but I missed the message. But I thank God for the messenger this morning, an awesome subject, the coming final glory. And I'm going to go back and pull this lesson up, and I just thank God for everyone that's been praying for me, continue to pray for me, and that I will be who God is calling me out to be in these latter days. Amen.
Amen. Good to hear your voice, Evangelist Campbell over there in Mississippi. Yeah, they're going to be, not they're going to be, there are much trials that are taking place right now. And we've been teaching a lot of stuff about the covenant, the broken covenants. We've been preaching on that because that's where the Lord has been leading us. And every time I try to get away from it, he take me to another text. And when I start to study the text, there's in the text is about the covenant. Because we have to get back. I believe that we got to get back to this place of obedience. Where
that's
we
right.
Obeying God. It doesn't matter what's going on around us because stuff going to go on. God told us that. He told us in the word that things are going to happen.
Amen.
But you got to obey me. That's what he says. He said people are going to come, they're going to proclaim that they're the Christ. They're going to come, they're going to proclaim that they're prophets, but they're false prophets. He said, don't you go nowhere with them. Don't believe them. He said, you stand firm. This is where these prophets, these tithes came from. You know, God saying that even in the midst of all that's going on, you've got to stand. So you've got to stand in the midst of the trials and all the tribulations that are happening. But and after all this stuff is going on, finally we got to repent. Because this is how we're going to get to be. The encounter that we want to have, the encounter that we want to have with God, with Jesus or Rabbi, is going to come when we repent. We cannot move. We cannot afford to move because of the tribulation. We cannot afford to move because of what we're seeing and hearing on TV, what the media is telling us. No, we are not moved by the media. We are moved by the Spirit of God. See, we are moved
Amen.
By the Spirit of God. A lot of stuff is going on. A lot of stuff is going on. They're talking about World War III, you know, but God already
Amen.
Told them all this stuff. See, you're going to hear about wars and rumors of war, but the end is not yet. God said the end is not yet. So why are we afraid? People are getting afraid. No, this is the time. The prophet said this morning, this is the time. We got to share the gospel. This is the time for us to deliver the gospel. No, we're not, this is no time for us to run and hide looking for safety. No, our safety is in Christ Jesus. We already have safety. It's been paid for us at Calvary. So what we need to do now is that we need to get up and we need to share this word. We got to tell somebody about Jesus. We got to tell somebody that they need him. I would listen to a fellow, what's his name? You know, the guy, what's his name? I can't remember his name. One is the fellow from he has Family Feud. He and the other guy,
Steve Harvey,
and Bishop, what's his name, Bishop, that fella from over there in Texas, I think he's in Texas, and they was on some show last night, and both of them were saying, you know the one I'm talking, not T.D. Jakes, no, this one, he's a good singer too, and he had this big old church over in Texas, but I can't remember his name off the top of my head, Bishop, well, I should know who I'm talking about. And he comes out and they're saying last night that so many, he's telling the homosexual that when he was preaching and he was doing so well, he had like 15,000 member church. And he said he was doing so well, but he said he wasn't satisfied. He didn't think he was doing the right. He don't think he was pleasing God, saying that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. He said, Jesus is not the only way. I said, look at these hypocrites. Look at what he's saying. You know who I'm talking about, Bishop. He says that, and then Steve Harvey says, there's more than one way. There can't just be one way. There's more than one way. Well, I looked all through my Bible. I ain't seen no other way. I only see one way. You know, but you having these folk that have all this money and all this, that have all of this, they're well established. And they're coming out, Satan is using them, so because people, the young people say, well, if Steve Harvey, he's a millionaire, and this other preacher, Bishop, what's his name, Carlton something, his name is Carlton Pearson, that's him, mm-hmm. That's the one. Oh, and if he says he's a bishop, and he can sing, so he makes so much records, and he was proclaiming that Jesus was the way, and now he is saying Jesus is not the only way, and he is saying that homosexuals can go to heaven without repentance and without saving, without receiving Jesus' law, because there's other ways, I don't know which other way that they can go through. Jesus said, if you come in any other way, you're a thief and a robber. Ha! That's what he says. If you come and try to get any other way, he didn't say you're going to get it. And if you try to come in any other way, you're a thief and a robber. Hallelujah. He's the only way. He is the door. He is the gateway to the Father. You can't get him no other way. So, but these folk are saying this stuff. And that's what God is saying for us. We got to teach the truth regardless of what anybody say. I don't care if they come or don't go. That's their problem. I'm going to put the truth out. We're going to put the truth on Blog Talk Radio. If they come or don't come, because why? There's thousands of people that we're reaching all over the world that want the truth. You know why I know they want the truth? Because they download every day. I watch them on Messenger. They download on Messenger. They download on Facebook. I see they downloading the message. I say, yes, that's what they want, the word. They want the truth. And we're teaching against sin. We're not teaching against the people, we're teaching against sin. Go ahead.
And you know something else? These are perfect examples of us focusing, because we must be ridding ourselves of spots, wrinkles, blemishes, or any such thing that offend, that are preventing us from being rapture ready. And one of the things that's highlighted and going to be magnified, and Jesus talk about the unpardonable sin, the thing that's not forgiven, is blaspheme. And so now we're seeing even how Romans laid it out and talked about the different vessels in the house of God. And Isaiah and some of the other gospel writers of the past talks about how God has, you know, all types of vessels, and he created the wicked for the day of evil. So if we got to stay close to this word, live it, keep consecrated, that way this word won't fall on us the wrong way. Now, he has been made what you call an omen or a proverb or whatever. This is a perfect example. And I used to wonder years back when I was younger in the Lord, and I've been saved now for some years.
43 years. And I used to wonder, they say, you can't be forgiven for blasphemy, but nobody never broke the seal on it and detailed it, the specifics of it, down to the little jot and tittle of it. What is blasphemy? How can you identify? How do you know when it's there? Because I definitely don't want to commit a sin that that won't be forgiven. I want all of my sins eradicated and erased. And so Carlton Pearson is a vessel of blasphemy. He was in the holy place. This man was like Hebrews 6 talks about. He tasted the good word of God. He felt the powers of the world to come. That means he operated in gifts. You know, he had the singing. He had the spirit of Judah on him, the spirit of praise singing, because Judah is still out over America anyway. The tribe of Judah is still in captivity in America. And so he was made partakers of the heavenly gift. This man did some awesome works and getting cried out of church. But then he a spirit of pride came on him. The dangers of pride, and you can see it before this fall. You can see it before they transition into these types of judgments. See, and these are the results when you touch and handle and taste and do the wrong thing. Something will be imparted, just like all diseases is not self-afflicted, and some afflictions come through ignorance because the system is feeding poisons into the body by advice of the fallen angels to bring destruction to man. But there are some dark things that you can touch. It can be literature. It can be an object. It can be a painting. It can be something that you have no business having. It can be a book, because we got some very dangerous books out here now, especially when you're dealing with the Book of the Dead and Necronomicons and all different phases and degrees that will get you to just open up the portal. That way something can be released. But listen at this. Catch this right here. You could get a disease by touching darkness, because now, mind you, now we preach the 91st song, and it tells you that there are some pestilences that walketh in darkness, and you could be a saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled person. If you don't watch the things that you touch, the people you associate with get in dark conversations.
Amen.
I'll start laughing and gesturing and talking at foolish things that are not convenient. And then you can get a disease, something cross over that quick, because the line is so thin. It's a thin line between us and the spirit realm. See, and he say, God said, if you stay prayerful, I'll keep you even from the pestle that walketh in darkness, a thing that you can't see. And if you touch and handle unclean or dark things, stuff can be treated. You can pick up stuff and bring it back. Like some people go dibble dab a little bit, and cause then nobody see them slip and slide, peep and hide. And they say, well, nobody saw me, and I wipe my mouth and wash my body. Nobody know my sin. But you better know, every time you sin, something is transferred. Something is imparted to you. You bringing something over with you, because they're going to have to signature. They're going to have to make a show of,
amen,
I brought this trophy down. This was a trophy of God. This was a king, a priest of the Most High. I brought him down. They're going to leave their signature. They're going to need the marking that they have touched you and that you have been in fellowship with a devil or somewhere. And so Carlton Pearson, and like so many others that are blaspheming, and you got this some that are reprobate. Reprobate, all these preachers, they call themselves pastors. Now, that ain't our church. They ain't a part of us. Those are not, that's not the church of God. That's another church. That's the whore church. That's the whore church. That is the whore church. That ain't us. People say, well, all this stuff they do in the church, that ain't God's church. The whore church, too. That's the scholar. That's the whore. That's that on the beast, riding the beast. That's the one world religion. That's the 1,000 points of light that they disguise it under these titles. But he is what you call a vessel of blasphemy. He has tasted it. He has experienced the power of God. And he walked away and this said, this is, I don't know. I say, if I ever met that man, I would say, well, Carlton, tell me what happened. At what point did you come to the conclusion of this the ministry a conclusion saying it ain't no hell, and then these people can remain lesbian and homosexual, and they still going to heaven, and you become their apostle. You left the fivefold ministry of the holy place, and you went in, and now the gay community, gay lesbians and pastors have anointed him to be their apostle, and they washed his feet in the video, washed his feet and made him the apostle over the gay churches. And I say, we better look at that proverb. We better look at that example. He is a vessel of blasphemy. The thing that he say that's God is not of God. That ain't, everybody can get in. There's more than one way. You better watch these preachers and all these preachers coming out the other night. And I was getting on the prayer line 5 o'clock morning before that. And I'm not T.D. Jason coming out and putting the pyramid in time of. I say, now, I'm telling you, the signature, the sigil, S-I-G-I-L, you need to study that. Sigils, the signatures of fallen angels are on preachers. They cannot stay in them high places. They cannot make that amount of money that they make unless they in allegiance with it. And these entities
are demanding
that they show a sign that they are in allegiance to the one world order and the one world religion. And not T.E.J. and his armor barrel stamped up by his wife, he always have his hand in the pyramid pointing down. TDJ's not coming on. He's talking to you. He got his fingers in the pyramid. They in these secret societies, and they don't know the depths of these secret societies, the end game.
That's right. You
got to denounce God. You got to denounce God. Or I say, why?
That's
everybody.
Right. That's what they do.
Media, news commentators, celebrities, everybody who's a part of the one world order, who are with Lucifer, they are now making the pyramid. You can't be media man. You cannot be in the movie. You got to do it somewhere to say, I'm a Satan worship. I'm a devil worship. Either they throwing up the three sixes with the hand or the Baphomet sign, but now it's the pyramid. It's the pyramid. And so you got to watch it. But he is a vessel fitted for destruction. And it shows you how easily we have to be careful with pride, because we can be brought down the same way. It's a thin line now. The devil, I've been bringing it, Revelation 16, how the mouth of the beast, the dragon, and of the false prophet is sending out unclean spirits like frog. And the scriptures say these are the spirits of devils going out to world leaders,
And
he say, and to the whole earth, devils are coming to every inhabitant of the earth. A devil is after you. A devil is after me. A devil is right beside you. Even the one that had you still longing to have his house back. So we better watch this. We better watch this. Learn by these falls. Learn by these examples. You better learn from their fall. Carlton Pearson don't belong to us anymore. He's not a part of us. He went out from us.
He's
of them. He's not with us. Jake's not with us. So many of us not with us anymore. They are not with Joyce. Maya is not with us. She in total rebellion. The woman on the wet dresses no more. She did just totally. Listen, when you a woman of God need to wear a dress when she preaching. No woman need to be in the holy place bringing a word in tight breeches all the time. You just totally don't want to wear nothing that's an apparel of a woman. And you can see on her now that the woman on mine feels it. Paula White is gone. She's
that's
gone
right.
too. So what you going to do with all this falling?
My God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
So you got to watch this error that's happening. You got to watch this error that's happening in these pulpits. You got to see who's been fired. These folk been fired. You got to know who's fired, who's replacing them. It's like Saul after David, because he's taking his place, trying to kill you. Does God doesn't pass the time. Some folk been fired and don't know it. Some folk been fired and don't know it. You don't even hear the anointing. That's why they
on the job.
Out of books. They ain't teaching out the Bible no more. They got to be out of books, because they ain't getting nothing from God. Self-appointed. Always got to be a book.
That's
you can't plow the word of God. You can't foresee. You got hindsight, foresight. When you open your Bible and you always got to go get into books of me and all that to try to get interpretation, something wrong right there. When you got to go to entice the man's wisdom all the time and you can't pay for it and plow it with your own spirit. All right, one man to God.
Amen, amen. You know, I've been focusing and listening to God, sharing stuff to me, and a lot of time when you share, people don't believe. When you tell them about these people that are going off, I've left God, I've departed from Him. I mean, if they did it 2,000 years ago, why shouldn't you think that people doing it now? They did it 2,000 years ago. We read it all last week in the book, how they rejected God and turned to idols. They're doing the same thing now. That's why we have to have the spirit of discernment. We have to spend time in the presence of the Lord of fasting and praying so that the discernment that He has placed upon our lives can envelop into what He called us to be. The line is open.
Hey, man, I enjoy what she's saying. That's why you got to try the spirit by the spirit. And you need the Holy Spirit to know the difference. You know, everyone that's carrying the title and I haven't been called by God. The Bible says men are called and few are chosen. So you have to have the Holy Spirit in the hour to know the difference. I'm telling you, the prophet just said, the Heavenly Father had fired many of them. They were a lot of them want to sit down. And you have a seducing spirit have taken over a lot of them. And they got a lot of these people following these people. And it's sad that people don't know that. So you really have to pray and really keep your prayer life and stay before God. That way, you know, you call by God, He'll anoint you for whatever He called you to do. So, you know, I just thank God for just a blessing to hear such an anointing and on this line today. Y'all be blessed. God bless you.
Thank you, Minister Jones. The line is open.
1 John 4:1-5 tells us, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Because the scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We will know the Spirit of God. We will know it. And that's why it says, but try the spirits. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because one thing about it,
amen.
He has empowered us. He's empowered us with His Holy Spirit. He sent back the Comforter for us. And we should know Him. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. There's a great falling away. There, today it is a great falling away. And I'm telling you, I had to hold on. When I say I have to hold on, I have to rebuke a lot of things, even my own mind. I have to fight. It's a fight. It's a spiritual war. But let me tell you, you better know who you are, whose you are, and stand fast. His words say, be still and know that I am God. With everything that's going on around me, death, life, all this, I have to hold fast. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. I'm telling you, hold fast. Hold fast.
Amen. That is the truth. The line is open. Line is open. The word of God is what's going to make the difference in our walk. Not just us reading it or reciting it, but us living
Amen.
It.
Amen.
living
us living it. You know, that's why you hear I says people, a lot of people say they're going to heaven, and that's all right. It sounds good, but you got to live to go to heaven. You're not going to go to heaven just because you say you're going to heaven. A lot of preachers you hear, I'm going to heaven. I can tell you I'm going to heaven. But they're not living to go to heaven. See, you hear what I'm telling you? They're not living to go to heaven. You got to live to go to heaven.
Amen.
God says, I'm living to live again. People say, I'm going to die. I say, yes, my flesh is going to die. But I am going to live. My flesh is going to die, but I'm going to live. See? Because I am the soul that inside his flesh. So I have to live again.
Amen.
And I determined, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if I can't live this life to live again, take me now. Don't wait till I mess up. Take me now. You know, I want to just live to please the Lord. And it means sometimes you got to cut off some people. You got to walk away from some people. Sometimes you got to leave some jobs. You got to don't go to this place, that place. Sometimes you got to move if you really want to live for him, because trials will push you in a place that you act about a fool. You understand? Step back into the old you. Go back in that old safe.
That's right.
That safe that's supposed to be buried. That safe that's supposed to be buried. Have all the old you in that safe. You go back and get a shovel and a pick and a rake and all this stuff and dig up that dirt and pull that old safe up and act a fool. The old you come forth. That's why you need the word of God. And sometimes you don't have to have a particular time. Say, Lord, I'm going to turn my plate over. I'm just going to turn it over for you, Lord. Because why? I want what you have. And what God has for us, sometimes you can't get it unless you fast and pray. You
got to
break some strongholds. You got to break some thoughts and some actions you got to break. You got to destroy in order to get what God has. You know? Because one thing for sure and two things for certain, he's not going to put no new wine, no old wine bottle. You got it. The bottle has to be clean. It has to be new. He's not going to put no new wine. People want fresh oil, but the vessel is old. The vessel is messed up, jacked up inside. Got to clean the vessel out. You want new oil. Fasting and praying. Spending time with him. Amen. Don't be distracted or disturbed by stuff you see or hear. And a lot of times we let things that we see and hear pull us out of the zone that we are in with the Lord. Somebody says some stuff that you know who they think they are. Who they think they are. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. No, I ain't giving nobody no piece of my mind. I've been working too hard to get this money right.
Working too hard to keep my mind.
That's why you got so many fake Christians inside the church, because they're always giving somebody a piece of their mind. They're not in their right mind. Don't give nobody no piece of your mind. Allow God to continue to renew your mind and trust him. Depend on him, even when times are going hard. Times is tough. Times are going to get even tougher. You watch and see the next 3 months, and you're going to see how this here United States of America that we love so much, how hard it's going to get. It's going to get tough, I'm telling you. And God is preparing us. He's preparing us. So you're going to see a lot of stuff, but the end is not yet. You got to stand strong. That's what he told you in the book of Matthew, 24. You see, you're going to see a lot of stuff going to be happening. He said, but don't worry. Don't worry. It's not the end yet. You just got to stand fast. Stand fast and stand on the path. Stay on the path that you're on. Don't get this combobulated because of what you see and hear. No, stand fast. Trust the leading. In the scripture you read from 1 John 4:4, The power part of that, I always said, share that scripture. I wrote that scripture in my heart. It's in my heart. And he said, you are of God, little children. Listen to what he says. You are of God. You no longer belongs to the world. And he said, you have overcome them. Who is them he talking about? All of the satanic agents in the world. Satan and his, you overcome the witches and warlocks. All the soothsaying, you have overcome them. Then he come back and tell you why you overcome them. He tell you who you are first, and then he tell you why you overcome them. He said, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So why are we worried? We don't trust the authority that he has given to us. We don't trust who we are in him and us. It's right there in the verse. Because then when I got in that house, everybody was saying, you know, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But when I got to study my Bible for myself, that's why when you hear preachers calling those scriptures, best to write them down. Write them down and go and look at them for yourself. Because sometimes they're quoting on the B part of the scripture or the A part of the scripture.
And none
but you need the whole scroll, the whole roll. The whole roll. Go and look at it for yourself. And God, when I look at that scripture years ago for myself, I said, why the preacher never quote this first part, the A part of the scripture? So, well, this is where the power is right here. And let me know who I am. And when I got that in my spirit, my life has never been the same. And I wrote that, I studied that scripture till I got it in my heart. We know who we are, whose we are, and we got to put our feet flat-footed on the ground. Not tippy-toe on your heels. Flat-footed. That means you're secure. Secure in him. You know, a boxer can hit you hard while he's moving, you know, but when he put his feet flat-footed and hit you a punch, man, you get the full weight, the full power of his body. Man, he's flat-footed. We got to stand flat-footed before the devil and his agents, knowing who we are and whose we are. We already got the victory. We're not fighting for the victory. The battle has been won.
The victory is already
won. We just got to stand. He's already won. He's already won. Jesus did it at the cross. He won the battle for us. All we got to do is do what he called us to do. The line is open. Anyone want to share? Come on in, share. If not, we have one of these preachers on the line. Close us out. Okay, any preacher, one of your preachers, all them preachers on there, one of y'all go ahead and close this out. I'm going to go in and spend some time with my honey. She's in there. I'm going to go in and spend time with her because I'm always teaching and preaching. So I'm going to go spend some time with my bride.
All right.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your power, this opportunity, Lord, for us to come together once again, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for God, the word that went out, Lord. Help us to hide the word in our heart that we want to sin against you, Lord. Help us get in that place, Lord, that, Lord, we'll be the ones you'll call, Lord. You said, we are called and we are chosen, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, let your anointing rest upon us today, Lord. Let your blood cover us.
What are you doing?
In the name of Jesus, Lord. God, you don't know what you're doing, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we bless your holy name. We give you all glory and honor, God, because you're worthy to be praised. Without your glory, we can't do nothing. Without you, Lord, continue pouring into the woman of God, God, all she poured out, Lord, at your word, go back in her. In the name of Jesus, Lord. God, we just bless your name. We give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Minister Jones. We'll have you come on sometime when you got some time and bring us a word, too. Yes, God bless you all. I'll talk to you all later tomorrow. I think my pastor will be on and Bishop be on bringing the word tomorrow. So we'll talk to you all later. I love you guys. I love you guys. Yeah. Have a blessed evening. Safe evening. Stay focused. Don't let nothing that the media put out or the television newscasters put out, don't let it move you. Stand on the word, stand in his presence, okay? God bless you.
God bless you. Love you too. Love you back.
Bye-bye.